ponder this for a moment. What gives us the right to train and sell dogs, to put them to work, or even to have them as pets? A movement is underway that could fundamentally change our relationship with animals and their status in our society. We asked James Serpel, professor of animal ethics and welfare at Penn School of Veterinary Medicine, to explain what's happening, and he started with the current legal status of animals.
Well, the current legal status of animals is that they are things, and the law kind of divides the world into persons on the one hand and things. Persons are essentially human beings, and they have all kinds of legal rights and responsibilities, and then everything else is treated as a thing. A thing may be protected under law if it's property, so if it belongs to somebody and you damage it, that person has the right to sort of claim back the value of the property. But beyond that, it doesn't have much intrinsic value, and so the law doesn't really protect it very well. It's a mess, really. From the perspective of animals, their legal status is very unclear and indeterminate.
There is a push for something called non-human personhood that would elevate the status of animals. I've seen this topic being brought up for years. Lately, it seems like it has resurfaced in conversation.
Yes. Recently, particularly somebody called Stephen Wise, who is a Harvard law professor, has been out and about pushing for this concept of non-human personhood. And he's been out specifically campaigning actually on behalf of individual animals. And in one particular case, it was a chimpanzee called Tommy who was living in New England in somebody's basement. In terrible conditions, supposedly. And the argument here was that this is no way to treat a highly intelligent, cognitively sophisticated animal that is our closest living relative. This is, you know, treating it simply like this person's property that they can keep in a basement in a cage is not appropriate. And I think most people, you know, intuitively sense that that argument has some cogency. It's a sensible argument at some level. But at the same time, when you start to think about the implications of giving animals personhood or non-human personhood, it does appear to open a kind of legal can of worms that could have very, very complicated and drastic ramifications throughout society. So it would obviously affect, for example, the use of animals for farming, food production. It would affect the use of animals for research. It would affect or limit or restrict the rights of pet owners to in terms of what they could do to their pets or do with their pets. So, you know, the ramifications are huge.
What are some of the guidelines that currently govern research that involves animals?
Well, the guidelines for doing research on animals are pretty strict, much more strict, for example, than what we can do to farm animals, food animals. For the most part, anything that's a normal part of farming practice is considered okay, even if it's painful or distressing for the animals. But research animals have fairly robust and heavy-duty protections on them. Many people would say it's still not enough, that they need more, or that we shouldn't use them at all. My argument in that situation is always to say, well, that's fine, but wait till your child has a disease that rests on the use of a drug that was developed using animal models. And I think most people in that situation, understandably, will say, yes, give my child the drug, even though in their hearts they feel that animals shouldn't be used for these purposes. So we're very torn over these issues.
And do you think a law or creating personhood for animals would have a big impact, or is it ultimately up to us as humans to treat animals well?
I think you're right. It's up to us. It's up to us where we draw the line, and it's up to us to determine how many rights we give them.
But you see humans clearly above animals, obviously.
Not above animals, but I see us as being a separate species. No matter which way you look at it, humans are always going to assert their own rights because we're that kind of animal. And if we assert our own rights, and when those rights conflict with those of other species, we're going to resist anything that impinges on our rights. I don't think we have any inherent superiority over other animals. We're all, you know, as it were, passengers on the same boat. At the same time, I don't blame people for asserting their rights, because it affects their livelihood, it affects their well-being, you know, it affects many, many things. And, you know, we're all individuals. We all want a reasonable life.
But when you said earlier, when it comes down to a drug that was developed, that seems to suggest a hierarchy, that the life of a human obviously is worth more than that of a hamster.
Right. But were you able to ask the hamster? The hamster might say the same thing, that the rights of a hamster are more important than the rights of a human being, because, you know, each species presumably wants to live its life and has a desire to be not messed with, you know, not maltreated.
But given that you don't see the clear hierarchy, how do you do what you do?
Well, it's not a big problem for me, in the sense that I try and avoid doing things that cause suffering to animals. That's, you know, it's a simple rule.
Right. Do you eat meat?
I do, although I buy free range.
Why?
Because it concerns me the way some animals are kept in agriculture. So I know enough about animal welfare to know that the welfare of some of these animals is very poor. And so I like to, if I'm going to eat meat, I want it to be from an animal that's at least had a decent quality of life.
But you don't have an ethical problem with, again, we didn't ask the cow, but we still eat it.
Mm-hmm. It's a problem, but I'm prepared to accept it. You know, I take responsibility for it.
James Serple is a professor of animal ethics and welfare at Penn School of Veterinary Medicine.